There are several things that I've done and do sometimes that just make me feel absolutely stupid. One of them is when I'm driving up, pick up, and I get stuck. I'm like, oh, I should have known I was going to get stuck. This was going to happen, and it just drives me bonkers. When I get sunburned, I'm like, oh, I knew this would happen. Why didn't I put on sunscreen? Why? But a third thing is when I spend money that I don't have to spend because I didn't check something out. Years ago, I had a television. It was at the time, it was an expensive, made by a company called Zenith. Remember Zenith? I had a Zenith television, and it was just acting up, and it was just a little kind of a tabletop thing. I think it was 19 inches, but it was our only television. And we couldn't get channels anymore. So I took it in to a repair shop, okay? And sign says plainly on the sign, minimum fee, $40. So I take in my television, I tell him what it's doing. Okay, so I leave it, I go home. About the time I get home, I have a call from the television shop. Your television is fixed and ready to go. So, okay, so I drove back to the television shop and I walked in, and the repairman had a look on his face that I've seen on my father's face before when I did something stupid. And I walked in, I said, well, what was the problem? He said, did you look at the owner's manual? Well, no. That's your first mistake. Read your owner's manual. He said, if you had read your owner's manual, it would have told you what to do if this ever happens. He said, if you lean the television forward or just get down and look, he said, there's a little small button here called a reset button. He said, if you had pushed that button, everything went back to its original setting. Then he smiled at me and said, that'll be $40. Boy, did I learn a valuable lesson that day. We're talking about reset and reset in our lives, and how sometimes sin has so impacted us. And we almost get caught up in it. It's like that snowball that is rolling down the hill and it seems to just getting bigger and bigger. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just hit a reset button? And go back before we started this whole process in our life. Because you need to remember, while you do have a God that loves you, you have an enemy that hates you. While you do have a God that wants to bless you, you have an enemy that wants to destroy you. And what he uses to destroy you is sin. I want to first of all remind you about the stages of sin in our life and their progression. First is drifting. This is when you've kind of lost focus. Maybe you've quit doing your daily devotionals. Maybe church attendance is something you skipped a few times. But you're beginning to kind of drift away from God. Then you begin looking. You begin to see things that, wow, I'd never noticed that before. And you become enticed. It's where temptation begins to assault you. Third thing is lusting. Now you want it. You really want it. How can I get it? What can I do to make this happen? And then what we'll be focusing on today is the actual taking. Taking the thing, meeting with the person, saying that you've been wanting to say but you know you shouldn't have said. It's the actual sin that takes place once lusting has reached its zenith. And then next Sunday we'll talk about the hiding that happens when we don't want anyone to know about what we've been doing or to understand why things are beginning to fall apart in our life, because they will fall apart. A couple of quick thoughts. First of all, taking is the act of deliberate rebellion. Remember, I started to say remember being a toddler, but you probably don't remember, do you? Have you watched your toddlers and they're trying to figure things out, and you can already see in the toddler their desire to push the limits. And maybe you've got something special set out, and you say to the toddler, don't touch. And the toddler walks up to it and looks at you. And you say, don't touch. And they put their hand down. Have you ever seen them do that? And sometimes, if they have learned from you about discipline, they may back away. But then sometimes they just reach out and touch it because they really don't care. They wanted to touch it, nothing was going to stop them. Or if like the teenager that the parents say, no, you can't go to that party, the parents aren't going to be there. And the teen gets all upset, and the next thing you know, the door slams as they head to a party. Deliberate rebellion. Or when the couple is having conflict and fighting and the marriage is really in trouble and one of the spouses decides to cheat, it's the taking. It's when, as our subject today, Achan, so all the spoils from the battle, had been told not to take anything, but he looked around and nobody was looking. And he took it. So we're talking about that act of rebellion against God that separates you from God and removes you from His blessings. Quote, I shared with you this a couple of weeks ago, and I want you to remember it. God loves us. Sin hurts us. God wants us to change. Would you say that with me? God loves us. Sin hurts us. God wants us to change. So please understand, the commandments of God are not there to cramp your style. They're there to protect you and allow God to bless you. Now our story today, as I mentioned to you, is about Achan. So I've got to go back and touch on a few points because everyone doesn't know the story of Achan. This is an Old Testament story. If you remember, our Bible is divided in Old Testament and New Testament. Paul tells us in the New Testament that the Old Testament is given to us that we might learn, and that those characters in the Old Testament provide us wonderful examples. Achan is an Israelite. His parents had spent 400 years in bondage in Egypt. Israel has finally come to the edge of the promised land. This is what God promised Abraham. That they're at the edge of the promised land. They cross it powerfully, and the armies of Israel set outside of a walled city called Jericho. Strongest city in the area. God told Joshua, I don't want you to attack. He said, I want you to march around the city one time every day. Just march around the city one time every day. And on the last day, the seventh day, you march around it seven times. And when you finish the seventh time, the trumpets will sound. And if we learned anything in Sunday school, the walls, what? Came tumbling down. And the people were so scared it wasn't even a battle. So Israel goes through, including Achan and all the other soldiers, into the spoils. And they walk through them. Then they have a battle with a small town. They just send 3,000 there, and they get soundly defeated. Israel had a great victory with a huge city. Got whooped in a small city. Joshua comes before God, why? Why did you desert us? And if you ever wonder why God's blessing isn't on you, you need to come before God. Maybe he's trying to teach you something or show you something. Trying to guide you a little bit. Joshua says, Lord, why? He says, I commanded you, Joshua. Nothing should be taken from that city. Nothing. Someone took from the spoils. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call all Israel together. And then I will show you which tribe of Israel committed the sin. And you will bring forward that tribe. And then I will show you which clan in that tribe. And then I will show you which family in that tribe. And then I will show you which man in the tribe committed the sin. So all of Israel comes together, and we're talking about several hundred thousand people. Divided by tribes, God picked the tribe of Judah. The sin's in you. Then they called for the clan of Zedeldite and said, the sin's within you. Then they called for the family, and in the family they picked out Achan and said, you are the one. And God told Joshua to ask Achan to tell them what he had done. And that's the scripture verse I have for you here from Joshua 7:21. Now remember, he's a soldier. He says, when I saw in the plunder, that was what was left in the city after they had been killed. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylon, colorful, bright, beautiful, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold that weighed 50 shekels. He said, I coveted them and I took them. Now this is his story. Most of you understand what happens after this, don't you? You understand? He's taken out with his family and stoned and then burned to death. Well, I guess not death. They were killed by the stoning, but their bodies are burned. God is giving a lesson. Do you think anybody took anything from the next battle? I certainly wouldn't have. But here's what I want you to see. Achan allowed sin to progress in his life from the drifting and the looking and the lusting or coveting, which are about the same, to the taking and then the hiding and then the horror of what would happen to his family. Achan's story reveals several things to us, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. First thing is this. Achan's story reveals to us that we have a free will. We have a free will. God allows us to sin. God allows us to choose. Some people say, well, if God is so great, why does he allow evil? If God is so great, why does he allow hurt? Because he allows us to choose. If he allowed us not to choose, we would just be automatons. All we can do is what he commands us to do. And he wants us to love him and worship him. And he's not going to command us to, because he wants our love freely given. He wants our submission to him freely given. And we have a free will. You can choose to sin. You can choose to reject Christ. God gives you that choice. Or you can choose to say, no, I'm not walking down that road. God says it's wrong. Or you can say, yes, I am going to choose Christ. I'm going to ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. We have a free will. Somebody asked me one time. This was at a time where their family had gone through some really deep suffering. Pastor, why does God allow this? Why does God allow this to happen? And you do want so bad to have an answer. But all I could say was this. What has just happened to you and your family breaks the heart of God. It grieves His heart. But we live in a broken world. Sin has broken everything around us. And what we see happen around us is because of our rebellion, starting with Adam and Eve. We live in a broken world. Death is partly because of our broken world. Disease, because of our broken world. It grieves the heart of God. And one day He will make it right. We will have a new heaven and a new earth. He'll make it right. But today we live in a broken world. So we have to choose. And I'm not going to tell you the choice is easy. Because the temptation Satan lays before us, he knows exactly what we want and exactly what we like. And he says, all you've got to do is take it. We live in a broken world. Second point is this, sin is powerful. Now I'm going to take you through several different things about sin. I want you to understand what it does in a life. But sin is powerful. It drags down kings. It divides nations. It breaks up marriages. I know over the last several years, I've done several funerals of young people that sin drug them into a life of addiction and dependency that eventually took their life. Our enemy wants to destroy, and sin is powerful. Now, before I go further, sin is powerful, but God is far more powerful. Satan, the Bible tells us, is the god of this world. And if you watch the news at night, it's pretty obvious. But the apostle tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You as a Christian do not have to live under the power of sin. Christ came that you might be free from the power of sin. But I'm telling you, when it's got you, it's got you. Four simple points on the power of sin. First, it is deceitful. I remember that they used to, back when they could advertise alcohol on television, they would often advertise it as the good life. And it would show people sitting and talking and laughing and drinking, and it was just a party. It always amazed me, they never showed you any drunks in the street. They never showed the husband coming home at night and the destruction that took place in the house. They never showed you that because sin is deceitful. Achan had no idea the chain he was starting. Can't you just, and all of us do this, he's going through this city that has collapsed. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. How do you think their clothes look about now? Kind of ragtagged, aren't they? And he goes through and he sees a beautiful garment. Should have been hanging in a window at a department store. And he sees it, and maybe he's imagining, oh, I look good in that. Have you ever been there? Oh, I need those shoes. I need them. And it amazes me, guys and girls, who shoes, it's all about shoes. I need those shoes. He says, I need it. And our enemy probably said to him, like the salesman in the store says to you, that would really look good on you too. There's always an enticement going on. But they're always going to sell you on what they know you want before they give you the bad news of what it's going to cost you. Eve, remember Eve? Adam and Eve are doing pretty good. Life is good. God is blessing them. They really have no needs. That they get up every day, they pick some fruit, and they're just, God's just blessing them. And then one day Satan says, Eve, come here a minute. Have you seen that tree right in the middle of the garden? Oh, it's got the best fruit of all. She says, yeah, but God's told us don't eat that fruit. He says, oh, ho. Eve, if you eat that fruit, your eyes will be opened. And you'll understand as much as God does. And then she began to look and stare at it. And she saw that it was desirous to eat. In other words, maybe it was a big apple hanging on the tree or an orange or whatever, but it really looked good. And maybe Satan kind of told her, this is what it'll taste like. It's really sweet. Or I don't know how he talked her into it. But he convinced her that she needed it. Did he ever tell her? It'll open your eyes and you'll see that now you've disobeyed God and he's going to kick you out of the garden. No, sin is deceitful. It's never going to tell you what's on the other end. One thing I haven't shared yet with you about the story. I want you to listen to this. In the end of chapter 6, I think it's verse 19, there's a verse that says something very simple. All the gold and all the silver and all the precious metals are to be collected and put into God's treasury. What God is saying, don't take anything but the silver and the gold, they're mine. You're going to put it into the treasure because we're going to need this one day as we begin to build this kingdom and you build me a temple. So the gold and the silver are mine. Achan knew that. He knew that was not his. God's very serious when we take that as his and treat it like it's ours. Remember in the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, the Lord tells the people of Israel, he says, you've stolen from me. You've stolen from me. Because he says, the tithe is mine. It's 10%. He said, the tithe of what you receive is mine. And you've not been giving it back to me. He said, you've stolen. And in our culture today, with all the attention that is given to what we have, the car we drive, the house that we take and live in, and the clothes that we have, and the entertainment that we so enjoy, it is so easy to spend God's money on us. I heard a preacher put it this way one time. He said, a church member just told me that they couldn't afford to tithe. He said, you need to add another sentence to that. They said, what's that? I can't afford to tithe and live my current lifestyle. God takes it serious. Satan's going to tell you, I don't worry about it. God doesn't care. He does. And I love this quote. All Satan's apples, every enticement he ever offers you, all Satan's apples have worms. And tell me, what is worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm? Finding half the worm. And that's usually where sin finds us, is when we've got half the worm. The second thing is that sin is addictive. We always want more. As Achan is walking through these ruins, he spies this very colorful garment. It's eye-catching. So he goes over to it, and then he begins to look around. Well, he's already decided to take the garment. And he says, "Ooh, that looks like silver. Oh, there's some gold." Do you think he stopped looking there? I think he looked around for a while, for even a little bit more. Until perhaps he heard somebody coming. Or maybe the trumpet sounded to bring in the army. But sin always leaves us wanting more. Remember, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and cost you more than you ever imagined. In retrospect, don't you think Achan would like to have gone back and hit that reset button? Oh, how he longed if he could have just gone back and done it different. We can go back because God offers forgiveness and restoration wherever we are. Sin is addictive. Sin is contagious. There's a tendency to think that because God hasn't disciplined me, that God's not going to. No. Sometimes God disciplines immediately. And in the story of Achan, it's very clear why. Israel is going to be fighting a lot of battles and a lot of wars in Canaan as they begin to occupy that land. God doesn't want them taken from the people of the land. Here he has someone who has clearly stolen, disobeyed him, been rebellious to him, and God has to give a lesson, make an example to the children of Israel. And what an example he makes. Sometimes God has to act immediately in our life to keep us from going further. Still remember the when we were in Alabama, they opened up a new strip club in Mobile. And this was a women's strip club. It just stayed open a couple of weeks. And they had the guys on stage that were doing their thing. And, of course, the paper was full of it, and all the pastors and churches are protesting. But it stayed open for a couple of weeks. There was a young lady in our church who always battled temptation. And she could just never seem to understand that sin's going to take you further than you ever wanted to go. That Sunday, there was a big picture on the Sunday edition of the newspaper of this strip club taken from backstage, kind of behind the entertainers, and sitting right smack dab in the front center at a table. Clear as night and day was this young woman in our church who was having to battle some temptation. God will take and expose and reveal when it needs to happen. But never mistake, sin is contagious. And what happens, it draws other people in. Parents, why do you not want your teenager hanging out with some of the bad kids at school? Because you know what they do is contagious, don't you? I came up on a street that was basically full of boys. Three boys in my family. The Guffeys next door had two. The Roland family next door to them had two boys. Across the street was the Bright family. They had three. The Davises over here had two boys. And then there was Barry Simpson, Gene Jameson. There were about 12 of us guys that just lived in this corner. And we played ball a lot, but one of the guys had a paper out. His name was Warren Bryant. He had a paper out. He had a brother, Steve, who was always up to no good. Well, one day Steve comes over to me and he says, "Ken, what are you doing?" I said, "Not doing nothing." He says, "Let's go to town and at the Five and Dime, a little Five and Dime store there." So I said, "Okay." He said, "I'll buy you soda pop." All right, I'm in for a soda pop. So we go to the soda pop, and he gets looking around, and dude's got a lot of cash, green bills. And he got to looking around, and he bought a bat and a ball glove with his cash. Baseball bat, ball glove. Now, this is a Five and Dime, so it's not the fanciest stuff in the world. But he buys a bat and a glove. And he buys a soda and candy bar for both of us. And we get home, and he says, "Ken, would you keep these for me?" Flags should start rising about this time. "Ken, would you keep these for me and hold on to them?" Okay, I got no problem with that. And over the next couple of weeks, we would go back, and sometimes he'd buy him something and buy me something. One day, my mom called me into the front room, and Steve's mom was there and said, "They're trying to figure out where all the cash from Warren's paper route keeps going." And I didn't even think about it that Steve was taking his brother's paper route money, but he was. And he said, "Do you know anything about it?" "Oh, no, ma'am." How quickly we take it and run. Well, eventually, they went and looked in my bedroom. Parents ought not look in kids' bedrooms, should they? But you have to remember, it's their house. And I had them in the back of my closet, hiding them. The enticement of having things had lured me in. It took me further than I wanted to go. And when my father go home that night, it cost me far more than I wanted to pay. Guys, how many people do you think take a first drink and go, "Whoa, I'm going to be an alcoholic"? They never think it'll happen to them. How many young people go to a party and they're told, "Well, try this drug, it'll make you feel good"? But it could kill you too in a few months if you're not careful. It's contagious. Watch out. Fourth thing quickly is deadly. It costs Achan his life. Sin will destroy marriages. And it is not just, the tendency is to think that marriages are destroyed by adultery. I told a young couple in counseling the other day, the number one cause of marriage is financial problems. It brings such stress into the relationship. And it can be caused by someone irresponsibly spending, wasting, but it brings such financial pressure into the family. Remember again, we have a God that loves us, a God that wants to bless us, but we have an enemy that Jesus says wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Every good thing in your life, he would like to take from you. Next thing, God will judge sin. God will judge sin. God is faithful. We know that one day there will be a judgment, and God will judge sin. God is patient in our life and long-suffering that we might find forgiveness and restoration for Him, but never think God doesn't see or God doesn't care. As Achan picked up the garment and the gold and the silver, don't you think he was looking around to see if anybody was looking? He saw nobody, but God always sees. We turn the lights off or we look for the dark because we don't want anyone to see. God is nocturnal too, by the way. His eyes are real good in the dark. God will judge sin. And the Bible tells us that one day He will bring before Him the sheep and the goats, the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous, and He will judge sin. God is faithful. And when we start looking at sin, here's what we realize. It's stronger than I am. His lure is far stronger than I am. And when I sin, God's got to deal with it. God's got to deal with this thing. That's a just God. The final point is this: we need a Savior. Because we can't do it. We can't. The Bible says our very thoughts of our hearts are evil continually. Oftentimes when we do good things, we do them for evil motives. We're just wrapped up in this thing of sin, and how do we get ourselves out of it, and what do we do about it? It's like we're just being pulled down by it. One Christmas, my brother Randy had received a new pair of cowboy boots. Bobby, is Bobby in here? Okay, Bobby has stepped up. When you speak to Bobby, he's got on some new cowboy boots, so look at his boots. My brother had this new pair of cowboy boots. Bobby, we're talking about you up here and your new cowboy boots. Well, my brother has these new cowboy boots. And it rained all through Christmas. And it rained. And we finally got to go out and play when it quit. But they were grading a street in front of our farmhouse. And they had graded a ditch, and all this dirt and mud had washed into the ditch. And my brother and I were out there playing. And, you know, Dad had told us, don't get dirty. Well, we got out there, and Randy started playing in the mud. And every step he took, it created a suction. Have you ever done that before? Every step he took, it was just, and he kept sinking in the mud. And it got down to almost the top of his boots. And he starts crying. He says, I'm stuck. And Daddy done told him, don't get those boots dirty. And we could not get him out. I went and got a shovel. Well, I'll dig him out. But as soon as you move a shovel of mud, it just comes right back in. So then I stuck it under his posterior and tried to pry him out. That didn't work. And finally, he cried, and I was about to cry. And he was bawling by this time. So I went up to the house. A little white farmhouse has been torn down now years ago. And then I walked in the house, and my father looked at me, and Dad could tell something was wrong. He says, what'd you do, Ken? Just like that. What'd you do? And I said, Randy is stuck in the mud. He said, what? I said, Randy's stuck in the mud. He said, let's go see. And my father ended up having to get, there was kind of a steep rise up into our yard, and he got up there and laid down and reached down and grabbed Randy and pulled him up. And after he pulled him up, he pulled him out of his boots. He had to get back down there and dig the boots out. But sin is kind of like mud. The harder you struggle sometimes, the deeper that you're in. The only way to get him out was somebody far bigger and stronger. I don't know where you are, where sin may have you in your life, but I'll tell you this. You need a Savior. A Savior who died that your sins might be forgiven. Remember the simple gospel truth? Jesus died on the cross because of your sins and my sins. God punished his Son upon the cross in our place. And because of that, God offers forgiveness and restoration. And it is the only way that we are going to ever overcome this power of sin in our life. It is Christ. Some of you got the flu or you had pneumonia and you had to go to the doctor and get a shot, didn't you? Because you couldn't fix it. You can't fix the sin thing. Only Christ can fix the sin thing in your life. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father God, we know that you are our only hope. That it is the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin. And that it is your power and strength that will enable us to overcome sin's bondage in our life. Father God, work a miracle in the lives of those this day who are in its grips. That our attitudes, Father, might be of gratitude and pleasing to you. That we are quick to forgive and accept forgiveness. That, Father, we disdain the unclean thing and we run to you. Now, Father God, have your way in our midst, in our heart, and in our lives. For we ask it in that powerful, powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated.